Welcome again to Seven Laws Blog UK. I am David, or Hesed Yahu, or Hesediah, and I'm about to read my article called When to Answer and the Eternal Universe. Out of the blue, a stranger decides to ask me a question. If I were younger, then I would have just answered on instinct. But my experience has taught me not to treat strangers as if they're just a blank slate. Not to treat them as if they're just children, just innocently looking for answers. Before I even approach the question, I have to check the questioner, even with a question or two. Now, I can hear and understand some possible responses. David, won't you be pushing away some possibly innocent people? David, isn't it respectful to just answer the questions? David, won't the answers be the same anyway, regardless of who asks? In the book of Proverbs in the Jewish Bible, there are teachings important to me and relevant to this point, such as the following. Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, so you don't become like him. That's in 26 verse 4. Answer the fool according to his foolishness, so that he doesn't see himself as wise. That's chapter 26 verse 5. When a wise man debates with a foolish man, whether he is angry or he laughs, he will have no contentment. That's chapter 29, verse 9. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who listens to advice is wise. That's chapter 12, verse 15. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. That's in the book of Psalms 14, verse 1. I added that last verse from Psalms, but the rest of the quotes are taken from Proverbs, the book of Proverbs. You see, these lessons teach me caution when it comes to simply answering questions from strangers. Look, my experiences themselves have taught me that debates can just be mainly a waste of energy, just a back and forth that is just time better spent doing more constructive things, doing almost anything. I've had vicious dialogues and just pointless ones. Too many. How many times has a person who's a total stranger to me started making presumptions and assumptions out of absolutely nowhere? I should have absorbed these biblical lessons much earlier in my life. There's little wrong with at least getting a brief idea of the questioner before flying into answering stuff, especially if he's a stranger. With no knowledge or idea about the mindset of the stranger, how can I properly apply the lessons from the book of Proverbs? Am I dealing with a fool or with a wise person? What sort of literacy am I dealing with? What is the heart behind the question? A person who already decided I'm an irrational idiot? A person who is already setting his ideas anyway? A sniper, one who just wishes to pass by and snipe insults? A person who is just curious? An atheist? An anti-theist? What? Even if I answer that person's question, it may have to be catered to the individual I'm dealing with. A few preliminary questions shouldn't hurt, right? A few preliminary questions should help break some ice. If the questioner has enough patience to allow me a few questions, then that may show the sort of character that can handle a dialogue, a respectful dialogue. But what was my point in adding that last quote, which condemns a God rejecter as being a fool? I'm going to be blunt. Although I openly admit that an atheist can keep the seven laws for his own reasons. Oh yeah, I had to do a rebuttal of an article I wrote earlier. Okay. And that they break none of the core seven commandments, despite what certain popular Noahide books may claim. Atheism itself is foolish. Removing the only objective standard for truth, morality, and knowledge, thereby throwing human reasoning and experience into abject meaninglessness and making human aspiration into worthless delusion, that's crazy. As I've said before, human experience simply becomes chemical reactions, nothing more. Without God, that is, without the objective standard. Morality becomes one set of chemical reactions interacting with another set of chemical reactions. There's no right, there's no wrong, it's just fizz. There's no moral difference between pedophilia and reading a book. Atheism undercuts and defeats itself because there is no truth to chemical reactions. They just happen. An atheist cannot find truth and couldn't see it if he wanted to. Actually, even his desires are chemically determined, so there's no out. He can only experience what the chemicals of his brain allows. So I fully agree that it's a fool that says in his heart that there's no God. And therefore, what am I dealing with when an atheist comes to me asking questions, or at least a certain type of atheist? Unfortunately, I'm dealing with a fool, and therefore I have to be careful how I answer. So before I begin answering atheist questions, the foundation for true discussion must be dealt with. There's little point in dealing with problems of contradictions or evidences that reveal God's truth if there's no agreed standard for truth. If there's no standard for truth. If there is no God, then discussing the issue is pointless, it's a waste of time. If an atheist is going to come and say to me, "Hey, irrational theist, your evidences for the truth of God's existence don't work because of X or Y," There's no basis for the truth of his argument because there's no truth in atheism. If he's trying to convince me of some truth, he's doing at least two things. One, he's trying to change my brain chemistry for no other reason then he feels like it. Not much of a reason for me to change anything. Or two, he's betraying his own meaningless worldview by applying to an objective truth which his worldview can't even justify. Why on earth would I waste my time with utter futility? Anyway, I'm not going to rewrite my previous articles on the utter gutterworth bile which is God rejection. Let me continue with the other thing I want to express. So some stranger asked me why I say an eternal universe is impossible. Because he didn't want to admit... Okay, let me answer that. Because he didn't want to admit his stance regarding his view of God after I asked him about it, I chose not to answer him. But the thing is, it got my mind working. How could I formulate my reasons for the impossibility of such an idea? Why did I hold that position? To stop myself from having to rethink this, At least I can recreate a record of my thinking so I don't have to keep on rebuilding the horse. Yeah, I said horse. And now I don't know why. Anyway, why an eternal universe is impossible? Or why is an eternal universe impossible? Number one. Cause and effect mixed with the problem of infinite regression. In my simple terms, every effect has a cause which came before it. Every material effect or energy effect had a cause, a producer, a basis, an origin. But the problem is this, it can't go backwards forever. I'll explain why by means of an analogy that I understand. In order for me to fire a shot in this analogy, I need an order from my direct superior. But my direct superior needs to get an order from his commander. That commander needs an order from his superior. And that one an order from his. And so on, and so on, and so on. Now, if that goes on ad infinitum, if there's no initial starting command, will I ever fire a shot? The answer is no. So to translate that analogy, in order for the present, all present material slash energy effects to take place, there has to be preceding causes, a superior or an originator, which needs further preceding causes and on and on. But if there's no beginning, and eternal means no beginning or end, there's no first initial cause, and therefore there cannot be a now. So there must be a beginning. That means an eternal universe is impossible. Okay, number two, the laws of nature, the laws of thermodynamics. There is no natural means to create energy or matter out of nothing, nor to destroy it. It's said like this, matter and energy cannot be created or destroyed. One can be changed from one thing to another, but not created naturally. But that leads to the next law. In a closed system, every change or use of matter or energy creates a net loss in the amount of usable energy available. So closed systems tend towards a state where all usable energy is used up. The universe is a closed system, if one rejects God. No matter or energies coming in or going out. Closed systems imply limits. There's a limit. But the universe has lots of usable energy, but it's finite. That energy is finite. The universe can't be infinite in extent for similar reasons like the problem of infinite regress. Usable energy is being used up as we speak, and everything on a whole is winding down to zero. Things are being used up, being depleted, going down to zero. And there's no way to produce more because of the first law, because energy cannot be created, matter energy cannot be created or destroyed. If the universe had always existed, everything, all the finite energy would be used up by now. But it's still all here, usable and hot. To use a common analogy, to go into a room and see a hot cup of coffee. Wait there. Why coffee? I hate the taste of coffee. Why not hot chocolate? Is that it? Okay, I win the vote. One person voting I vote, that's me. It's a majority, we win. So hot chocolate it is then. Hot chocolate. So, okay, so there's a cup of hot chocolate with no external or internal means of heating itself up. And to claim that that cup has always existed like this is to claim the impossible. So when it comes to the current state of the amount of usable energy there is around us, the universe must have had a beginning. I'll add, as a personal point, that everything I experience in the natural world has limits. I have no reason to think that the whole material universe is a special case and has no limit. I've got no reason to think that. The third reason why our eternal universe is impossible. God said so. Now, wait there. Remember, this isn't a list of things to use to convince God rejectors. I'm not aiming to convince anybody. These are my reasons. These are the reasons I have to say that an eternal universe is impossible. The one true God stated in his revelation, the Jewish Bible, that he created the universe in the beginning. That means there was a beginning to the universe, the sky and the earth. God is a trustworthy source and he's in the place to authoritatively make a statement on such a matter. So, at least based on God's word, there can't be an eternal universe. So, both with and without God, there is no eternal universe. It's just impossible. So that's the end of the article. Thanks for your time and enjoy your day.